And then you skip down to verse 13. It says, then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the what?
Miracles
and signs. Signs and wonders. Miracles which were done. I don't know about you, but I would love to see the day when I can pray for someone who's paralyzed and see them get their function of their limbs back. Pray for people who are demon-possessed and genuinely see them delivered from that bondage. And I've seen some people get delivered, man. At a men's retreat several years ago, we had people literally screaming as that demon came out of them. And it was a little bit scary, but you know, they were genuinely healed of that affliction. And there was a transforming, amazing, powerful effect on their life. This stuff is real. And here is Philip doing this. He's not an apostle. He's casting out demons. He's healing the paralyzed and the lame. He's doing signs and wonders. And he is not a what?
Apostle.
He's not an apostle. So here we are, two men who were not apostles. They didn't write any scripture. There is no epistle of Stephen. There's no epistle of Philip in the Bible. They didn't write any scripture. They didn't, you know, create any new doctrines in the New Testament. They were not witnesses of the Lord's resurrection. They were not commissioned by Jesus Christ to go out and proclaim the gospel among the apostles. So they were in under no circumstance, any way, shape, or form, an apostle. And yet they were doing miracles, signs, and wonders on the same level as the apostles were doing. Right there in the book of Acts. And they were, they may not have been apostles, but they were men full of faith in the Holy Spirit who had a servant's heart. And God was able to use them mightily. That's within my grasp. I might as well forget about ever being an apostle, but can I be full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit and have a servant's heart and be yielded and, Peter, surrender, thank you, brother. Surrender to God so he can use me. Am I willing to take that risk and start praying for people? And even if they might not get healed, and take that risk and step out in faith? Am I willing to be used as a vessel of God? That I can lay a hold of. Now, some might say, well, okay, D'Souza, fine, you know, yes, Stephen and Philip were not, you know, technically, you know, apostles. But they'll say, but you know, they were closely associated with the apostles. And God only did things through those apostles or people who were closely associated with them in order to confirm the scripture. And now that we have a complete Bible, a closed canon, we really don't need those miracles today. Well, you know, I respect people who say that, but you know, it's actually frankly kind of stupid. Not trying to, you know, diss them or anything, but frankly, that's just ridiculous, you know. It's just, you know, because when you look at it, I mean, think for just a second, it doesn't take a scholar, it doesn't take a university or seminary scholar, just think for a moment, you know, they say these miracles were only done by the apostles or people closely associated with them. Well, the problem with that objection is that the entire New Testament was written by and was written about the apostles and the people who were closely associated with them. You know, there are no other candidates to talk about. Everybody was either an apostle or somebody that was associated with them in some way. That it was written by apostles. It was written by the apostles to the other people, the people who knew them. The book of Acts is all about the apostles and the things that happened around them. So who else are you going to come up with in the Bible? If you're going to throw it out on that basis, well, then you might as well say we ought not teach anymore because only the apostles and those closely associated with them were teaching. We might as well not plant churches anymore because they were the only ones that were doing it in the Bible. They were the only ones who were doing anything in the Bible other than the unbelievers. And yeah, I don't expect the unbelievers to be doing signs and wonders and miracles. So it's just a ridiculous argument. There's no other people to pick from. I mean, that's the sample. Where else are you going to go? So that's number one, but number two, I want to point out something that you might hopefully we'll see the distinction here. In 1 Corinthians 12:29, Paul is writing to the Corinthians about the diversity of spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, how some have this one, some have the other one. And notice what he says here. This is very interesting. He says in verse 29, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? The implied answer is, no, thank you. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now, Who's the first person he mentioned, first group of people he mentions?
Apostles.
Okay. Then he talks about prophets. Then he talks about teachers. Then who does he talk about? Say it again.
Workers of miracles.
Wow. And then the next group of people, who does he talk about? Okay. So he mentions apostles, then some other people. Then he mentions workers of miracles, and then he mentions people with gifts of healing. If the apostles were the only ones who worked miracles, if the apostles were the only ones who had gifts of healing, why did he bother to make a distinction? Why didn't he just say, are all apostles? Because everybody knew they're the only ones that are doing the miracles. They're the only ones that are doing the healing. But he lists them separately. So he's saying that there are apostles, and yeah, they do miracles, signs, and wonders, blah, blah, blah. But then there are also prophets. There's also teachers. There's also non-apostles who are workers of miracles. There are also non-apostles who have gifts of healings. And so this is in Corinth. This isn't even in Jerusalem or Antioch where a lot of the apostles were. This is just the church at large, church in general. And so it was a very natural thing. He's saying, you know, look, you know, you got the apostles, but then you got these other people that God has placed in your church. And for some reason, when they pray for folk, man, stuff happens. Maybe not on the same level. Maybe they're not turning the town upside down. But when you come to service, man, you're excited because some God, who knows what God's going to do when so-and-so begins to pray for somebody. You see it in Rome, the letter of the Romans. He talks about the various gifts, supernatural gifts that he had given among in the midst of the Romans. You see it in the churches of Galatia. When he wrote to the churches in Galatia, and he said, he who works miracles among you, does he do it by the Spirit or by the hearing of faith? So in all these churches, they may not have had this intensity that we see here, but there was stuff happening. It was normal. It was normal. It was the expected thing. He doesn't make any big apologetic explanation there. He just says, you know, as if they all knew what he was talking about. Are all workers of miracles? And they, you know, the answer was. But he implied, are some? Yes, obviously. Yes, so praise God. So no, absolutely, it's not just the apostles. People were all over the place back then were working at some level of miraculous gifts and gifts of healing. Now, second objection, second extreme. Okay, so it wasn't just the apostles. That's ridiculous. Throw that out. Second objection. Should everyone be working in signs and wonders? Thank you, brother. So in other words, if Mark begins working in signs and wonders, and everybody who comes walking by him, you know, up here playing his Fender, you know, falls out on the ground and suddenly gets healed, does that mean that the same thing should be happening to Angie? Or maybe, but not necessarily. That's right. No. How about you know, when Dave is back on the soundboard? Should people be walking by the soundboard and suddenly, you know, every time they... You know, should everyone be working in signs and wonders to at the same level of intensity? Thank you, Ty. Ty says no. How many people agree with Ty? Is that your final answer? You sure? Okay. Thank you. Brother, I agree with you. No, I'm serious. No. And that's nothing scandalous. It doesn't throw any fire on the, I mean, throw any water on the fire of our zeal. Because there are people, we should no more expect that everybody is going to be these amazing, intense workers of signs and wonders any more than we should expect that everybody should be a pastor, or everybody should be a deacon, or everybody should be an elder, or everybody should have the gift of encouragement, or the gift of mercy. There is a diversity, all kinds of flavors of ministry that God is working among his people. And just because, you know, I'm not a Todd Bentley or a you know, John Wimber or a Catherine Coleman or a Morris Sorello or one of these guys doesn't mean that my ministry is second rate. God is just a different calling on my life. Praise God. So 1 Corinthians 12:4-6, he comes right out and he says, there are diversities of gifts. The same Spirit. There's diversities, differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And down in verse 11, he says, but the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as what?
He wills.
Thank you. as He wills. It's really up to God who has that, to a degree. Not everybody is called to minister in the same manner. So if I am seeking God with all my heart and I am seeking His face, and you know what, frankly, He is blessing me and He is responding and I'm seeing His grace at work in my life and His sovereign hand moving and doing things that just melt my heart with love for Him because of His tender mercy towards me, and I see Him moving powerfully in my life, I don't have to feel bad or guilty or discouraged because maybe I'm not having some amazing ministry where thousands are flocking to my house in Denton to get healed. You know, I don't have to be a Todd Bentley or a Catherine Coleman or a Morris Sorello or a John Wimber or, you know, fill in the blank, Mahesh Chavda, you name it, in order to have a valid, Spirit-filled ministry of power in the Lord, because He gives diversities and differences of gifts and ministrations. Praise God. Now, that doesn't mean that I shouldn't seek for amazing answers to prayer, does it? Thank you. Amen. I've got a woman next door to me who, it seems like every week, once or twice a week, she's being carried out by the ambulance and taken to the hospital. I would love to see God heal her when I pray for that woman. And I prayed for her a couple times. I would love to see God just take that thing right out of her. It breaks my heart when they carry her out to that ambulance in the middle of the night and she's crying in so much pain that she can't even talk or think straight. It breaks my heart to see that poor soul, and my heart breaks to see her healed of that thing. And so I want to pursue, if nothing other than compassion, for compassion's sake, I want to see God move in a powerful way so that people can be relieved of these afflictions and torments. How can you not care? How can you not want to see God move? I want to see God move for the glory of His name. I want to see people magnifying God because when I prayed for them, you know, they got healed, and their relatives are like, wow, I can't even believe that. And their friends are like, man, that was incredible. And start giving glory to God. And I may not be on the level of some of these guys that are on TV or have these various ministries and all, but I can still seek for amazing answers to prayer right where I live, right in the circle that I'm traveling in. And you know what? If God only healed two people in the service every Sunday, I would be beside myself with excitement. I'd be out putting poster board. I'd be out putting, you know, what do they call those things on the side of the road? Thank you. Man, a poster board. Yeah, a little poster board. I'd be putting billboards out there. Man, come to Shore Christian Fellowship. Two people healed a week. You know, just like McDonald's, you know, in 15 years, maybe we can say, you know, 400 people healed and counting. They used to have, for those of you, they used to have the signs of McDonald's. Yeah, some of you don't remember. Oh, well, don't worry about it. So I don't have to have it on the level of the apostles to have a valid healing ministry. I can have it to the degree that God gives it to me and be very, frankly, very excited, very zealous, to the point where I can't wait to get to church to see what two people are going to get healed this week. Praise God. But, you know, believe it or not, and you know, there are critics who say that unless we're doing this healing ministry at the same level as the apostles, that we really don't have a valid healing ministry. I'm talking teachers and commentaries that I respect greatly, that I love, who I think are great men in the Lord, and they say, well, you know, if you're not healing people like the apostles did, then you really don't have the gift of healing. That's nonsense. With all due respect, that's nonsense. You know, how many people can teach like the Apostle Paul? Not many. Anybody know anybody that can teach like the Apostle Paul? No. Does that mean, should we apply that then and say, well, because nobody can teach like the Apostle Paul, that the gift of teaching does no longer exist in the church? Of course not. I mean, you know what, am I going to say that because I can't teach at the level of the Apostle Paul that I'm not going to get up in the pulpit and teach on Sunday? That's ridiculous. I don't have to teach at that level. I'd like to get a little bit better as time goes by, hopefully, you know, a little bit more effective. But hey, I don't have to be at that level in order to have an effective ministry of teaching. Thank God.